As we move through the liturgical year, there are three basic kinds of seasons that we celebrate: seasons of preparation, seasons of celebration, and seasons of life. Beginning with the last, the major season in the year is the one that we give the most boring of all names. We call it ordinary time, but I prefer to refer to it as the season of the year, or the season of discipleship, because that's what it's all about. How do we live the reality of the death and resurrection of Jesus in our ordinary lives? Then the two seasons of preparation are the season of Advent in preparation for Christmas and the season of Lent in preparation for Easter. What we're in now is a season of celebration. It's not in preparation for anything, it's a continuation of what we experienced and encountered last week in the celebration of Easter. Just as Christmas has a couple of weeks of celebration after the actual day of Christmas, so also this 50 days of joy and wonder as we continue to experience the difference that God has made in our lives because the tomb was empty when the women first went there before dawn on the first day of the week. The gospel that we hear today is from that first night, from the first day of the week, this first beginning of something new. As the disciples, still confused by what has happened during the day, there have been a few of them who have gone to the empty tomb. The women went first, but then Peter and the disciple that Jesus loved went running to the tomb. The younger one got there first, but waited for the older to arrive and to make his way into the tomb. And we're told that Peter was a little bit confused by it, but the disciple that Jesus loved, that we call John, he saw and he believed. It was enough for him. But now we're in that evening of that first day of the week. And what have they done? They've huddled together for support. They're still confused. They're still overwhelmed. What on earth does this mean? Where is the body? Where is Jesus? Where have they taken him? There's still this confusion. They still don't seem to know and yet believe what has happened. And who can blame them? We're not used to people not being dead and not staying dead. We're used to people just simply, once they die, that's it. They slowly decompose, we bury them, we mourn them, we grieve them, as the world is grieving the death of Prince Philip, and we're also mourning the death of one of the great Australian cardinals, Cardinal Cassidy. But we know that that's the ending of their lives. But Jesus, something new has happened, because the tomb is empty. There is nobody, because even though the doors are locked, even though they're huddled together, he's able to suddenly be there among them, present with them. And his first words are this declaration: peace be to you, peace to you. In the Greek, there is actually no verb in the sentence. There's just two words: peace to you. He's wanting them to experience this new life, this freedom. And so again, he repeats it, because they're still just dumbfounded and overwhelmed. What has happened? What is going on here? How is Jesus that we saw crucified? Well, some of them, at least from a distance, saw it. The women were there. Most of the disciples had fled and had run away. But at least the women were faithfully there, and John, the beloved disciple, was also there, seeing with their eyes, to behold the horror and the gory details of the crucifixion of Jesus. But now he was here. Now he was among them. Now he stood there and he pointed to the wounds on his body, the nails in his hands, the spear side in his side. And he's calling them and inviting them into this encounter. So they're still overwhelmed. So what does he do? He commissions them and he breathes on them. Because even though now in his resurrected body he's able to do mighty deeds and continue to be present in this amazing way, what is necessary for the church to grow and to flourish is a new presence of Jesus. This new longing for Jesus to be present in spirit. And so he breathes on them. The word in both the Greek and in the Hebrew, the same word for breath and for spirit, for wind, it's the same word. We have different words out of those different experiences or different instances of that movement of air. But within Judaism, within the Greek language, it is just this one idea. Pneuma in the Greek, or ruah in the Hebrew. And so he breathes on them, evoking that same Spirit of God that breathed across the waters of the chaos, the wild and the wastelands. And so he's breathing this new life and this power of God so that the church might be changed, that the church might be transformed. And how will they be changed? In the forgiveness of sins, by forgiving one another. This isn't just the 12 or now the 11 who are gathered here. It's the much larger group of disciples of Jesus. It's all of those men and women who are gathered here in the worship of God, gathered in their confusion, gathered in their loss, gathered in their grief, but here commissioned to also share in that ministry that he'd already given to the 12 to forgive sins. And now he's sharing it with the whole church. All of us are invited into this same experience to receive the Spirit of God, to allow God to breathe his life upon us, and then to also be those who minister that same mercy of God to others. It's not just the priests who are called to be merciful. All of us are called to be caught up in the divine mercy of our God. All of us are called to experience that mercy ourselves. And when someone sins against us, when someone does something wrong, not to harbor that, not to judge them, not to condemn them, but to share in that same mercy of the Lord. Just as we have received this mercy, even though we're undeserving of it, we've done nothing to earn it, nothing to win it. It's this unmerited grace that we have received. We're invited to share that forgiveness, to share that life with others. Even though we doubt, even though we're still locked in confusion, even though we still struggle at times, there is one thing that we can know with certainty, and that is that we can receive the love and the mercy of God to the extent that we also share it and give it to others. We continue to be an instrument of that grace that we receive and we share. That we continue to be that instrument of receiving and giving of the mercy of God. We can get caught up in those doubts, just as Thomas was, but he is able to move through that when a week later he's still there. He's back there with the rest of the disciples, and he's there to receive that mercy and forgiveness of Jesus. Jesus also passes on that same gift to Thomas, even though he was late to the party, even though he missed that first encounter. He's able to receive it, and he's able to respond with such profound worship, to kneel down before Jesus and to make that declaration that you are my Lord and my God. It's only the gift of the Spirit that allows us to do that. It's only the gift of the Spirit that lets us be the people that God has called us to be. So on this Sunday of Divine Mercy, let's indeed receive the forgiveness of the Lord. Let's allow the breath of God to flow into our hearts and into our lives. Let's allow Jesus to breathe that new gift upon us and be that instrument. Be the people who embrace that, but be the people who also share that. We're called not to just stay locked in our upper room, not to stay here hidden and away from the world, but to go out into the world, to be the church out in the peripheries, to go out and to share that same grace and that same mercy with all those around us. I'm sure there's someone that will come to mind right now as we think about this, as we know that there's one person at least that I still hold a grudge against, that I still hold a resentment against. Today, on this Sunday of Divine Mercy, let's indeed find an opportunity, first of all, to pray for them, to pray that we might receive that mercy, to be able to share it with them. But also, let's see if we can find some opportunity to call them, or to write to them, or to do something that is able to release them also, to share the mercy of God with all those around us.